Oi, have you heard? It's Conspiracy Corner. With Matthew Dentith.
Matthew, good morning.
Good morning. That's an exciting lineup on the big day out, although I do feel you could have made Anne Rhonda sound actually even more like a full stop at the end. And Rhonda.
Randa.
Randa. Randa, Rhonda, Rhonda.
Randa.
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 Randa. Full stop.
Sorry. Big day out.
You right there, Zach?
No, I'm not.
It's all right.
Slowly dying.
Push through.
I will. We'll do. Definitely, because it seems at the moment the surveillance state that apparently we've been under is just falling to pieces.
Well, yeah, so we've got this thing that there's the secrecy of the surveillance state that they're watching us and they know what we're doing, but we're not meant to know what they're doing. And now it turns out we know what they're doing, and it appears to be, in some levels, quite scary, and other levels, rather incompetent.
So let's leave the incompetence of the stories at home and talk about Bradley Manning.
Yes, Bradley Manning and the WikiLeaks case. This is the infamous cable dump that occurred due to Manning working actually within fairly low-level secured classified information. Leaked to WikiLeaks. WikiLeaks then partnered with various journalistic institutions around the world, and Cablegate occurred. Large amounts of information were put online, and Manning was promptly arrested, incarcerated, possibly illegally for long periods of time given the terms of his incarceration. Has finally been put on trial and found not guilty of aiding the enemy, but guilty of whistleblowing and leaking, and now has 130 years in prison facing him.
Which is a ridiculous number.
As in,
I'm not giving comment on the number of years handed out, just 131 years is a very long time.
Yes, it's a very long time to be in prison, and I very much doubt he'll make it out alive. Now, what's interesting about this particular thing is it kind of shows a level of hypocrisy in the American government we've always suspected but never really wanted to believe. So, if you look at, say, famous war criminals living within the borders of the United States, and let's say Dick Cheney is a nice example of this, someone who aided and abetting in the torture and rendition of large numbers of people overseas through the CIA extradition process, he is not being prosecuted for any potential war crimes he may or may not have committed. Not going to trial, at no point are they going to arrest him or do anything about him. But Bradley Manning, who basically leaked very low-level classified information, interesting information, important information for knowing what America does overseas, he gets prosecuted, is found guilty, is going to spend 130 years in jail. We're not going to spend 130 years in jail. If he spends that amount of time in jail, he will die, unless America invents some kind of technology to keep him alive.
We are 3D printing livers and that kind of thing.
So we could 3D print a new Bradley Manning when he dies to stay in prison.
Exactly.
It's a scary thought.
And I guess the question is why, and that's where the conspiracy will come from.
Well, yeah, so this is the notion that people like Manning are people who essentially are threatening the security state. So the security state thrives on secrecy, the notion that you do not know what they're doing at any particular point in time. And America and its constant warfaring overseas thrives on the notion that people just don't know what's really going on there. You can get away with a lot if the public are not particularly clear on what really goes down on foreign soil. So by Manning leaking all of this information, suddenly the world was looking at what America does, both militarily and with regard to internal secrecy, and the public started providing the necessary oversight to sort of curtail the excesses. And, of course, once you're a military that's out of control, able to do anything it likes, being told to curb your wicked ways is a kind of thing you go, oh, I don't want to do that. Don't tell me to go to my room. I'm not going to my room. And so you have the government working for you, and you try to stop this thing from happening again, which is why you make people like Manning a kind of poster child for don't do this, otherwise the full state will come after you.
And speaking of Defense Force, that brings it back home, doesn't it?
Well, yeah. So this is the tragic story of John Stevenson, who has just recently been in court for defamation against the New Zealand Defence Force. The New Zealand Defence Force basically said John Stevenson did not interview someone he claimed to have interviewed. John Stevenson said, yes, I did. The Defence Force said, no, you didn't. It went to trial. The New Zealand Defence Force then said, oh, actually, we kind of said you didn't interview the guy you interviewed before we actually checked whether you'd interviewed the guy you interviewed. And actually, it turns out after we did some inquiries, you did interview the guy that you interviewed. We're sorry, but we had qualified privilege here. We were allowed to attack you. Just because. Mm. And now Nikki Hager is alleging that actually the NZDF contracted the Americans to spy on John Stevenson in Afghanistan. So essentially the NZDF has a manual about who they want to talk to and who they don't want to talk to, and who they take to be subversives and who they take to not be subversives. And it turns out one of the clauses in this manual describes reporters reporting on military operations overseas as being subversive individuals, which gives them the warrant to spy on these individuals. So allegedly they contracted the Americans to spy on John Stevenson whilst he was working overseas. And if this is true, and once again, this is an allegation, although given that the NZDF have denied the spying, although they also denied that they told lies about John Stevenson interviewing people he did interview overseas. So the NZDF can, basically their word can be taken with several large pillars of salt here. If this has occurred, this is a terrible invasion of privacy for the sheer fact that we want journalists to be able to ask hard questions. If they then get spied upon by the powers that be, essentially you're curtailing press freedoms and making the kind of oversight the free press is meant to provide something which basically is going to dissipate overnight.
Just finally, we had more news on the Andrea Vance.
This is one of the most confusing stories of all time.
And
I mean, really is. I'm still trying to work out who said what and why and how. I'm pretty sure the butler did it.
Well, I think I've wrapped somewhat of my head around it. So you've got last week, Carter made a statement that Henry requested the phone records but was denied by parliamentary services.
Yep, that was the story last week.
This week, David Carter says that, no, Henry didn't request the phone records but parliamentary services gave them to him.
Yeah, for some reason, I just have these records, they're sitting over here.
It was a contractor's fault. Yeah. Then yesterday we had John Key saying that his chief of staff asked parliamentary services to go and do it and give the records to David Henry, but apparently they haven't been looked at. And
And meanwhile Peter Dunn is going, well, hold on, but when David Henry spoke to me about the inquiry into the leak of the GCSB report, he said he wanted my phone records to compare them with Andrea Vance's phone records. So Peter Dunn is going, well, it's fairly obvious that David Henry knew he was going to get Andrea Vance's phone records. Otherwise, how was he going to compare my records with hers? And so it just appears to be there's no consistent story here. And we're not really going to know anything about this until August 21st, when it goes to the Privileges Committee. So there's going to be a lot of speculation and a lot of pressure on the government to explain exactly what's going on for the next 3 weeks.
And with confusion and speculation comes conspiracies.
Precisely.
Which is, so it's a bloody great time for you, Matthew. Thank you so much for coming in.
Quite all right.
Have a good one.
You will.